Hello, Yvonne. So...
Okay, let me ask you a quick question.
Okay.
Are smart playlists somehow limited to 200 songs that I didn't realize this?
No, no, I've got smart playlists with more than that.
No, they're not. Of course not.
No.
Why in God's name? This is wrong. Okay, never mind. That's no big deal.
Okay! Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Sunday, January 8th, 2012. See, I got the year right this time.
Yeah.
I'm Sam Minter. This is Yvonne Bo with me here.
Hello.
As we promised last week, we're going to do part two of our predictions. But we've also had another week of presidential politics, so I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about that too. You want to do that first or last, Yvonne?
Let's start off with what happened in the election first, and then we'll jump in.
Okay, so I think it's a split decision about whether your prediction was right about Romney winning Iowa, because he did win by 8 votes on the night of, but then in the subsequent week it's been discovered that somebody accidentally typed 22 when they meant 2, and he actually got 20 less votes than was reported, which would put him second to Santorum by a handful of votes. But the reality, of course, is this is a tie.
Yeah. I mean, in practical terms. I guess that... okay. One of the things that seems clear... I didn't expect Santorum to come in second. If I expected somebody to come in second...
It would have been Paul.
Right.
And okay. So, but the trend in the days right before...
Was the Santorum surge.
We were talking about the Santorum surge. Santorum was surging, Paul was falling in the last few days, and there you go.
Yeah, so it's a little bit strange.
As I said, this makes me really want to like take a few days off and spend like... 72 hours straight searching every box in my garage for tape of the interview you did with Santorum in college.
There's gotta be there somewhere. We gotta have that. I mean, I want to actually remember what the fuck we talked about, because what I do recall about the interview in the end was that I couldn't stand him.
Although I might not have it. I don't remember me interviewing him, so I think it was just you, and I might not have recorded. Yeah, we might not have recorded the ones that... Like, I know I was religious about recording everything I was on, but not sure about you. But anyway.
Are you sure you weren't there? Those are the ones that we were doing. Remember that I started calling, getting...
I was most likely present, but I don't believe I participated.
Ah, well, that may have been the case. But if you were there, then I would have thunk you would have recorded it.
I don't know. Anyway.
Well, I don't know either, but I mean, the one thing that I do recall after meeting him that one time is that when I was done, I wanted to basically punch him dead in the face. that bad taste, I definitely did not get out of my head after that. He just seemed to me like an idiot.
I saw somebody on Twitter describe him last night as... a much dumber version of Newt Gingrich.
there are
quite different on some policy issues as well.
But even like beyond that, Gingrich on his personal life is a complete asshole. Okay, we all know this. I mean, he's not. But in terms of policy questions, in terms of general statements. Gingrich is far more compassionate a human being in terms of how he wants his policies to be perceived than Santorum.
And you know, he's not exactly warm and cuddly, so that's saying something.
Exactly. I mean that's the point. I mean, I'm like, this is a guy who really is he's just a fuckhead. I can't stand the son of a bitch. I have this bad taste from meeting him that I just cannot wash away. Okay, I think that's the way that I could describe this. There's just no other thing.
So retail politics worked well with him on you.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Now, if I remember the timing, he was still in the House at the time you were talking to him.
Yes, he was. He was still in the House.
Yeah.
And that was the reason why we had him there. We were trying to go through all because Senate was too big, so we were trying to get all the candidates that represented our our district, state, federal, and he happened to be one of them.
Yeah.
And I can't remember, no, because, yeah, it wasn't like the one that we wound up it turning into a debate by mistake because somehow the candidates got the dates confused. But the one where I believe was we did the was for the state house, okay, where okay. Both Republican and Democrat both showed up on the same day, even though they were scheduled to be a week apart. They somehow got the dates confused and showed up at the same time, which turned out to be a good show, okay, but that wasn't the original intention of the whole thing. You know, so anyway.
Yeah, I have no memory of any of this.
Yeah, well, I know. Well, that's why I'm sure that if I ever will be persecuted for anything I did while you've known me,
memory of any of this.
It's beautiful. I mean, it's
gotta no memory of any of this.
Exactly. Great.
I have no memory of any of this.
Okay. Well, anyway.
Anyway, so Iowa happened, and I mean, you predicted Romney would win, and he at least tied effectively, either a couple votes above or a couple votes below, which right. Actually, before moving on, I will say, yeah, there were reports, this was the closest election percentage-wise of any national significance office, blah, 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 it as far as we have in, you know, modern recorded history. You know,
really?
Certainly in the primary. On a percentage basis, this was closer than Florida in 2000.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
So, you know, so once, I mean, you know, this was with it winning by, with Romney winning by 8. If it's actually Santorum winning by like 15 or something, not sure if that's still true. But anyway, a damn close thing. So of all the people who say, like, you know, voting can't make a difference, you're absolutely right. Voting cannot make a difference because these votes have absolutely nothing to do with the actual selection process of delegates, which is what matters here.
Right.
Okay. And in the case of Iowa specifically, the actual results, again, like the percent, you know, what matters here is the momentum coming into New Hampshire, not the actual votes themselves. And, you know, a tie is a tie.
The main thing about Iowa has been that you just don't have a complete unmitigated disaster that then kills you in New Hampshire.
Okay? Right. And so we had, you know, basically the top three, Romney, Paul, Santorum, and everybody agreed those three are going on to New Hampshire and beyond. Huntsman never played in Iowa and was putting all his bets in New Hampshire, so he's still there. Gingrich came in fourth, but has a strong, at least had strong polling in other parts of the country, so he's still there. And then we had this interesting spectacle of the night of Iowa. Perry made a statement that pretty much sounded like he was dropping out, and Bachman made a statement like she was pretty much staying in. And then the next morning, the two of them reversed themselves. Bachman dropped out and Perry stayed in.
Genius.
So we still have Perry around to kick around a while. And, you know, he's got some cash, so he can last a little while if he wants to. You know, so what happens after? Well, we've got... New Hampshire's coming up next, and if we look at the polling in New Hampshire, Romney is way, way, way ahead. He's running at around 40% of the vote, which isn't quite, you know, over 50, but it's substantially higher.
Well, given
higher.
It's seven, how many candidates total? You're polling six? That's a pretty good number when you're having against, you know, a total of six contestants.
Yeah. So. And then we've had Paul slowly but surely gaining in New Hampshire. He's now up to 20%.
Woohoo!
And
the Paul surge.
And then you know, Santorum got a massive bump out of his Iowa win, but that massive bump consisted of going from 5% to 10%.
Oh, it's still a bump.
So it's still a bump, and that puts him in a tie with Huntsman and Gingrich in New Hampshire. With Paul, with Perry, you know, pulling up the end at 1%.
Yay!
So, okay. Yeah, look, the bottom line is Romney's going to win New Hampshire. absent something really strange happening. And but yeah, and in terms of delegates, that'll get him about half of the delegates out of New Hampshire. New Hampshire only has 12 delegates to the convention, but at this stage, delegates don't matter. He's going to win. He's going to have the momentum. He's going to go into South Carolina. And the last polling before the Iowa caucuses had Gingrich way ahead in South Carolina, but they hadn't done polling there since like the beginning of December. They finally did new polling there this week. And guess what? Just like everywhere else in the world, Gingrich has collapsed. And so we have, and Romney, and sorry, and Santorum has gone through
the roof. This Gingrich massive collapse all of a sudden. I mean, he surged all of a sudden, like, kaboom, and then just as quickly...
It's what all the other ones did.
I guess.
You know, I mean, basically, all of these guys, with the exception of Romney, and some could argue even Romney is actually in this category, but we won't know until the general election, but, you know, are not ready for prime time. Like, they sound good to a certain constituency on paper when you haven't heard that much. And then once they have their little surge and go to the top, everybody starts paying attention. They start getting negative ads, all the stuff about
like,
them.
Oh shit. We're good. Asshole.
And then everyone pulls out all the things that are wrong with them, you know? And then people are like, oh, well, I was hoping he would look good, but guess not. And that's why we have, you know, now it's Santorum's turn. I mean, I honestly thought all this surging and falling would stop when the primaries stopped. But we still have Santorum going through his little surge. But I am convinced it is also a little surge. I mean, all of this, you know, people have been saying who've been talking to Romney's staff. Yeah, you know, they're ecstatic. You know, they are basically going to walk to this nomination. Because like I said, you know, in South Carolina now, he's jumped to the top by a significant margin with Santorum and Gingrich competing for second and Paul way behind. You know, if he starts, you know, wins Iowa, arguably, wins New Hampshire, wins South Carolina, you're going to have the inevitability sort of thing on him pretty damn quick. And Florida, by the way, there hasn't been polling in a little while in Florida, but the last polling we had Romney going up and Gingrich going down. Gingrich was in the lead in Florida.
Yeah, I did see that on a poll.
Yeah. But, you know, there hasn't been poll. The last polls out of there were December 19th. You know, that's a long time ago.
Yep.
So, but if, you know, if Romney sweeps the first four states, I mean, this might not even make it till Super Tuesday. I mean, I'm not saying that everybody's going to, that, you know, there might be, you know, Paul's going to stay in it. Maybe Perry, since he's got some money, will stay in a little bit longer. I'm not saying everybody drops out by then, but it's going to be at the point where people are like, yeah, okay, it's Romney. Which, you know, I mean, frankly, we've been saying for a year, but...
Right.
Yeah, but, yeah, it's amazing to see everybody collapsing quite as fast as they are here.
Yeah, I know. It's and I guess, to a certain extent, it's just, you know, this is just... It shows the kind of indecision and unhappiness that the Republicans in general have over all of these candidates.
Yeah, now having said that, you know, Romney keeps putting his foot in his mouth and doing other stupid things. If he ever, if soon he makes a really big ass mistake, then it could change the dynamics here. But it's looking like he's careful. It's looking like, you know, he's said a few stupid things here and there, but, you know, including some in the last 24 hours.
What did he say in the last 24 hours? I didn't see.
Well, the one everybody's talking about this morning is on the debate Sunday morning that just ended a couple hours ago. They had two back-to-back debates, by the way, one Saturday night, one Sunday morning.
I was so confused. I turned on the TV this morning, and I see this debate on TV, and I'm like thinking, what is this, a replay of last night?
No, it was the second one.
Ah, okay.
But anyway, the one everybody's talking about this morning is how he basically said that nobody should run to her office and if they have to rely on the government salary to pay their mortgage, which basically means unless you're independent wealthy, you shouldn't be running for office.
God.
Which, by the way, there's something to be said for that point of view, but, you know, it's not necessarily going to go over that well.
Well, I don't know. I don't necessarily agree.
Look, what I'm saying is not that that's how it should be, but I think that's almost the reality of how it is.
Well, Joe Biden, for example, okay, all right, basically lived off his entire career off of
he started way back when. Let's talk
whatever,
about
whatever. But it, reality it, is,
if Joe Bob, working guy right now, wanted to decide to work for run for Senate, you're kidding me. No, that's not going to happen. You know, or even the House. I mean, you need like you need to be able to raise like millions of dollars even to run for the House.
Well, I agree, that's one thing is being a fundraiser and that you live off campaign donations or whatever. That's one thing. Another thing is that, I mean, when you're in office, what you live on is, you know.
Yeah. Well, the argument, of course, is that like you're more susceptible to influence, whatever, if you're if you actually are reliant on that money. But whatever. But the point is, it was tone deaf. You know, yeah. Regardless of the merits of what he's saying, you know,
not everybody would work for a hedge fund like this moron did, though. Anyway.
Yeah, and of course, speaking of tone deafness, the only thing more tone deaf, and by the way, I watched a few minutes here and there of both of the debates, but for the most part, I've read after the fact commentary. But the other tone deaf moment was apparently John Huntsman, who is putting all of his hopes on breaking out in Iowa, and apparently in the middle of I did not see this live, and I did not actually even watch the video. I should have, but apparently in the middle of the Republican debate last night, he suddenly switched to Mandarin Chinese and spoke for a few seconds in Mandarin Chinese. He was making a point about Romney not being familiar with China or one of the other candidates not being familiar with China or something, and that as Chinese ambassador, he had a lot of experience, he spoke the language, whatever. But, you know, this is a Republican debate. You know, switching to a foreign language in the middle of the debate isn't
probably
necessarily...
Probably did not earn him any points.
That's right.
Yeah, I could have started talking in Spanish during the debate. Of course, you know, depends on where the debate was. If it was like one of these, like in a couple of weeks, there's going to be some like kind of forum down here to
in
Jeb
Florida, Bush. Yeah.
Al Gutierrez are hosting. That's if you spoke
but
in Spanish,
even there, you have to be careful because like they're going to go to the parts of the country where there's a significant Spanish speaking population, and they will do some attempting to speak in Spanish there. But then as long as you're still in the Republican primaries, you don't be surprised if one of your other candidates doesn't hold that against you in some future primary.
Right.
You know, now once you're out of the Republican primaries and talking general election, it's a whole other story. But,
yeah,
because, you know, it anyway, you all know.
We,
so anyway, I'd held out so much hope that this would continue to be exciting, but it really is looking like Romney might just walk away with this.
That's what it's looking
like. And that's kind of sad, but because you need at least, in order to make it stay interesting for a long period of time, you need at least one other person who's making enough to keep him from getting 50%. I mean, basically, to make this last a long time, you needed either to be a close to 50-50 split, or you need a third candidate in a mix who takes enough vote to keep anybody from getting over 50% of the delegates. And, well, right now, as you said, you know, there's so many candidates in a race, nobody's getting over 50% anywhere. But, you know, can Gingrich stick it out long-term and continue to get lots of votes? It's looking like no. Maybe he'll stabilize and stick in it longer. Is Santorum going to be anything more than a flash in the pan? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I mean, maybe all the religious right whack jobs will concentrate on Santorum. But
anybody who is like in the middle, you know, just even like a slightly too not at the far right, will not be able to stand the guy. Basically, because the guy is an uncompassionate prick.
Romney or Santorum?
No, Santorum.
Yeah. Well, and as a number of people pointed out, the traditional religious right in the Republican Party is Protestant, and Santorum's actually a right-wing Catholic.
Catholic.
And that might cause some people problems.
I don't think that will fly over too well either. So
I guess we'll keep watching. New Hampshire coming up. The bottom line, I guess, in New Hampshire is everybody expects Romney to win, so it's a question of who gets second. And right now, second in New Hampshire is looking like Paul. But, you know, people will say, well, Paul doesn't matter, so then they'll look at third and see, is it Santorum or Huntsman who gets a ticket to try somewhere else?
Yeah.
Anyway.
We'll see. All right.
Okay, well, let's take a break, and then we'll be back to 2012 predictions. So we will be back after this exciting message. Okay, Yvonne. And before we get on to other topics, just to finish off election predictions and give, like, a second chance, does anything from last week change anything you predicted last week?
In terms of...
presidential election stuff.
No.
And I would agree, nothing on my side changes at all. Iowa did nothing.
Yeah. No. I mean, I think we're still on the same track.
Okay, so... let's do economy next. And as with last year, I probably won't have a shitload to say on economy, but let's go, Yvonne. What do you think? Domestic, foreign, are you going to make another prediction of complete and total economic ruin like you did last year?
No. I'm staying away from that. I think that we're going to have another year that's very similar to the one that we just experienced. The reasons being... number one, Europe is still unsettled. The problem that we have over with the European debt crisis, really, they still, even now, this has been going on, and there really has been no real resolution. So that's going to be a drag on everything. That's number one. The other part that's also happening is that the Chinese economy is actually slowing down significantly. And that's another drag in general. So I think that we're not going to have a year this year. I don't think that we're going to get into any majorly crisis like 98 style. But at the same time, there are countries that are having difficulties. And we're just going to keep muddling along. Congress or the White House don't seem to have any plans, really, to solve any of the major problems that we've got. During an election year, is certainly not going to be able to be done, okay? Because during the presidential election year, I mean, all we're going to have is a stupid Mexican standoff on anything that would be proposed. So therefore, I don't think we're going to make any major breakthroughs on any of this. The only time that we made anything major was, for example, in the middle of a damn crisis in, like, 2008. But... if I don't expect any major crisis like that, then nothing really significant to solve certain problems is going to happen. So I think we're just going to wind up in another year where we just keep muddling along as we are right now. Housing across the nation is recovering, especially in the markets that were in the worst shape. Those markets really have already hit bottom, and there is some rebound in those markets. However, one of the problems that is happening right now, which is continuing to be unresolved and the government hasn't addressed, is that single family homes you can get financing for, no problem. Okay. However, we had a huge condo building boom. Okay, over the last 5 years, 7 years. Those condos, a lot of banks are refusing to finance condos right now, okay? Just flat out.
For someone trying to purchase a unit in a condo.
Correct. In a lot of the new developments, and I will name that my development included, which was sold in the last 5 years, the banks are all unwilling to lend any money. We have had a lot of deals closing in my condo at prices that have been improving. However, all the deals have been all cash. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Because the lenders are going into places where there is a high percentage of renters and refusing to loan out money. Okay? And so the problem is that you've got the government that drove down rates down to 4-3.5%, but all of a sudden you have this huge new housing stock that came out there that people can't buy because the banks won't lend money.
Are some of these getting converted back into apartments?
No. No. Very rare occasions. Very rare. Because you'd have to get one in which, you'd have to get one where somebody was able to purchase, like, you know.
Enough of them.
Exactly. Yeah. And in many cases, there aren't. Ownership is very, very distributed. And nobody is really willing to part with the properties because on the counter that you've had, rents have been going up because people can't buy. So you wind up buying at the bottom of the market. You bought all cash and you're getting a nice revenue stream because rents are high. So your incentive to sell is low because the guys that are going to out there trying to buy 100 at a time, 200 at a time, and I've dealt with some of these guys, they want to pay bottom dollar. And people are like, fuck you, why the hell am I going to pay bottom dollar? What the hell, what am I gaining here? Okay? So you've got this market dynamic that's out there, and the problem is that the federal government, or like the banking regulators, have not addressed this. Okay? And it's having a significant impact on a lot of major cities, okay? Because where we had a lot of major condo developments, such as Las Vegas, such as Los Angeles, such as San Diego, such as Miami, Fort Lauderdale. You go through all the major cities that had had a lot of condo development, that added a lot of the housing stock, and interest rates are at 3.5%, and fuck, nobody can get financed. So what's the point? I mean, it could be zero, for God's sakes. What the hell's the difference? They still won't lend you the money anyway. So we've got this weird dynamic that nobody seems to want to address, aside from the fact that nobody has tried to address any of the problem with the 35% of people in the United States that have houses that are underwater, which winds up making people be, you know, accidental landlords, because this is the problem. It's all interconnected because all of a sudden people go, I got a new job in Atlanta. Okay? You know, I'm just saying, you know, make it a situation. You live here.
You're not actually speaking about yourself.
No. I'm just making a hypothetical. You go, like somebody goes, I live in Fort Lauderdale. Oh, I got a new job in Atlanta. Well, I want to sell my place. Well, I can't. Okay?
Yeah.
So you wind up going into having to rent out your old place and rent out a new place, so you're not having any purchase activity, and you wind up with these people having to be landlords that they didn't want to be in the first place.
Well, I'll also say that, you know, there's also the factor of people who aren't in the position of having to necessarily move for that new job, who in that situation are just saying, you know, in other situations, I would move for this new job, my old job would become available for somebody else, blah, blah,
right.
blah. But, you know, I just can't move.
I just can't move. Right.
And so you're reducing the mobility of the public
of
in
the
general,
workforce.
Which
yeah.
makes it, which has a depressing effect on employment.
Exactly. And so we're stuck in this situation, and it just seems like, I don't know. I mean, what? Am I just the only guy looking at this? I know I'm not, because I've read different articles, a number of people that have been mentioning that these are factors that are happening at this. But it doesn't seem like any of the major policymakers are taking a look at this and like saying, shit, we got to do something to solve this.
Well, and like you said, nobody's going to for at least a year here.
Fuck no. No, not this year. Nobody's going to give a crap. So we're going to have to another year muddling along. So that's really what my outlook is right
okay,
now.
Okay, so U.S. you expect about the same as this year, which means slight growth. So positive, not negative, but just barely.
Yeah, pretty much.
And internationally, you said the euro would continue to muddle along. Do you think at the end of 2012 we'll have first of all, will the euro still exist as a currency?
Oh, man.
Like a currency actual people use, not just...
No. I know what you're saying. I'm going to say yes.
Okay. Will it be in less countries than it is today?
Man, that's a tough call. I say that it's possible. that a couple of countries will have to will wind up having to drop the euro because they will not be able to be competitive economically. Now, I will say this.
So wait,
that likelihood has been reduced for one major reason. The euro has started dropping substantially. Hmm. The euro has dropped like about 20% since September. Okay. One of the problems that a lot of countries were having economically was that the euro was so strong that their exports or tourism or other things, like say a country like Greece, for example, depends a lot on like foreign tourism. Well, shit, the euro surging to where it was making it very expensive for people to travel and was making for anything that you would export expensive. Well, okay, it used to be that the Greeks would deal with that all the time by freaking like, you know, causing their currency to drop. And they hadn't been able to. The euro kept staying strong. Well, now the euro's dropped like 20%. And if it keeps dropping, I mean, let's face it, the euro used to be, shit, 5-7 years ago, the euro was 1-to-1 with a dollar. I mean, right now it's 125-to-1. I mean, if we experience a significant further drop in the euro, that could have a significant – that would have a pretty positive effect on the European economy. And if that's the case – then they may dodge a bullet, and it may wind up averting a breakup of the euro.
Okay, now you have to make a solid prediction for next year, though. Yes or no, will there be less countries in the eurozone at the end of 2012 than there were at the beginning?
I'm going to say no. They're all going to stay.
Okay. Any other economic predictions of note? Or are we sticking with only two this year? And should I make my everything's going to hell prediction just to counter you?
Let's see. I will say that I don't have anything else of note right now to be able to call. Well, I did say another thing, by the way, that housing had reached its bottom, and it's going to start. You will see.
And you're talking on a U.S. wide basis.
On a U.S. wide basis, yes.
Okay.
Okay.
So rather than make a bogus prediction like I did last year, just to be competitive, Yvonne and I last week's show basically said, "Hey, no joke predictions. Let's stick with the real facts." And on that note, I will not predict anything in the economic sphere.
Okay. All right. Well,
because, I really don't follow it closely enough to, say anything too intelligent.
Okay. Well,
okay. So let's take a break and we'll come back and talk about tech for a little bit. This is Sam here with an opportunity for you. Yes, you heard me right. An opportunity. For you loyal listeners of Curmudgeon's Corner, every once in a while, Yvonne can't make a show. And I do a solo show, which, I think I do okay. But, it's always interesting to have a second person to bounce off. And just in general, sometimes it's good to hear another voice. If you, yes, you, have some things to say about the kinds of things we usually talk about on Curmudgeon's Corner, politics, current events, news, tech, then drop me a line at abelsmay@abelsmay.com letting me know. And hey, I'll keep you in mind and maybe ask if you can join us sometime, either on a regular show with Yvonne if it's something particularly pressing that you maybe have an expertise on, or just, an opportunity to co-host when Yvonne is out. Who knows? Now, I am not guaranteeing that if you send me an email, you'll definitely get on the show, but let me know if you're interested and I'll keep you in mind. Thanks, and now back to the show. Okay, tech.
Techie.
So, I honestly, I haven't thought too much about this either, but I think it's going to be like, I mean, what are the semi-obvious ones? Apple will in fact release an iPad 3, and it will continue to be successful.
Well, I will tell you this: I actually am going to be a little bit bolder on a couple of predictions, because here's the thing. I think that Apple this year will launch a couple of products that probably would not have launched if Steve Jobs were alive.
You think that the kind of thing is going to happen already? Because they've had there have been comments about, look, anything in the pipeline now that's going to be released even in the next 2 years still would have had significant impact input from Steve before.
Well, but I think that when we're talking about, but you know what? The thing is that I think we're talking about some variations on certain products that probably didn't exist.
Well, and I think also what you get, by the way, is it may absolutely be right. For instance, let's say, you know, the book said, for instance, that Steve was very hot on an Apple entrance into the TV space.
Right.
Okay. So there may be a TV product released, but the Steve Jobs thing that's missing is not something that happens necessarily the full life cycle of development. It's the veto at the end where somebody presents an almost finished product to him and says, this is ready to go, where right. he will go in and say, no, it's not.
Right.
And that's the effect that we might be missing there. So if you're going to go with that, I would say, like, you know, there have been all these rumors of an Apple TV, meaning not the Apple TV that's out there right now, but an actual television. There have been rumors of an iPad type device somewhere in between the sides of the existing iPad and the iPhone.
That's one that I think
they probably. You think they're going to do that?
Yes.
Because that is one that, Steve's on record saying that would be stupid. But on the other hand, Steve was on the record saying many things were stupid that he eventually released.
Right. And I think that's one of the things that probably will happen sooner rather than later because of the competitive pressure you're having of all these smaller but and less expensive iPad competitors that are being launched out there. And I think that eventually, in order just to stay competitive and have a product, even if it's just to bring in people and say that you've got a tablet at $199, I think that they will wind up releasing one.
I see the possibility. I hope you're wrong. And so I will predict that they will resist that pressure and stick to their guns that they already picked the optimal size for a tablet and the optimal size for a phone, and the space in between is stupid.
And I will say that they will probably launch a phone that's bigger and a smaller and that has a keyboard.
Really?
Yeah.
I will also predict that they will not do that.
I think I will go against you
on both of these predictions. They are not going to release an iPhone with a keyboard. They are not going to release a bigger iPhone. They are not going to release a smaller iPad.
Okay. Now, wow. Now, we are. Oh, I mean, this is like a mano y mano. I mean, we have gone like right now, okay, and just, you know, just drawn the sandbox two diametrically opposite positions. Okay, damn.
Now, I will say the smaller iPhone. I don't think they're going to really do a smaller iPhone, but I have always been intrigued, and I've said this joke before, but I have to again. That I really wish they would release an iPhone Shuffle. Okay. No screen, only not, one button.
You're not predicting they will.
I am not predicting they will.
Just double checking.
I'm not predicting they will. No screen, one button. You push it, you get. You call somebody Hello? Random oh, in your
Mom.
Phone book.
Oh, Mom. Oh, hi. How are you? Oh, yeah. I don't know what to tell you.
The ultimate chat device to help keep you in touch with people you otherwise would not speak to.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I know we haven't spoken in 5 years. Yes, I know that you threw me out. I just figured a call. Say hi. Yeah, I know that I stole all your stuff. Yep, yeah, okay.
Speaking of which, you know, that could be, you know, a killer iPhone app for the existing iPhone. Just pick someone random from your address book and call
them. It could be like a challenge game. Okay, all right. It's kind of like a dare. Okay,
that's all right.
It's like a dare game. Okay, all right. You go right there. You fucking like put the iPhone app, and you have a game, and you could do scoring. Actually, I like this. Actually,
hey, if there are any iPhone developers out there, give us a call.
Yeah, we've got the killer app. It's gonna be like the fucking contest. It's like, I bet you teenagers would love this.
You know they might.
Yes. Oh shit. Okay. Well. All right. Okay. I'm not thinking that app will happen unless we get somebody to develop it. Okay. Yeah. All right. That's all I'm saying.
I can see interesting ways to expand on that idea too. Anyway, and you're right. It's a game. You keep score. Blah blah blah. Anyway.
Right.
Anyway, beyond that, outside of Apple, or you know, any other, or do you have any more Apple predictions?
No Apple predictions. However, last week we were talking about going over our predictions for a year before. We're talking about 3D TV.
Yeah.
Toshiba actually officially fucking like screwed me by 2 days. Launched.
One without glasses?
Yes. Yes, they launched a 50-inch TV for this year. No glasses. It's a 50-incher, okay?
Do you have to sit, like, in a specific place or something stupid like
it's
that?
It's got a pretty... No. It's got a pretty wide angle of viewing angle. I think it's about 140 degrees, okay? So it's pretty good, okay? Yeah, you can't... If you're 170 degrees from the... you won't see the effect, but 140 degrees is pretty... I'd say it's a pretty good angle.
Yeah.
It's a 50-inch TV. They announced it at CES. So, now the price...
Oh, so it's not actually available to buy yet, though.
Oh, it'll be... this year.
Fine.
Now, it's... The price was steep. I mean, it was... I think it was like 10 grand or something, whatever, for the TV. But I guess, if you look at some of the high-end TVs that we've got, I mean, they're still like, you buy a 70-inch or whatever, I guess they're pretty pricey. So, they just announced that. So that's...
I'll say 3D continues to flop. Now, I'll say that having said, after last week's show, that very night, I went out to the movies and saw a movie in 3D and it wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad.
I saw Hugo, which, by the way, I liked it. People should go see it.
But you see, you said it wasn't bad. I mean, honestly, my point is that you weren't like ecstatic. It's like, oh, it was awesome.
Let me put it this way: I think the 3D actually did add somewhat to this movie, but it could have been. It would have still been a good movie without it. And at the very beginning, they slightly overdid the 3D, and I was like, oh, God, this is going to give me a headache. But it ended up not doing so. But the thing is...
By the way, it's going to be in the first quarter of 2012, so it's going to be before March 31st.
So, but the thing with the 3D is still, like, it takes... in order for 3D to be effective, I think it needs to be done just right, which is expensive and... Even then, at the best possible 3D is still, it might add to it, it might be cool, but it would be just fine without it. And I think that's where it falls down, and where it's never going to expand into, like, all movies being 3D or anything like that. It's just like, I think 3D will continue to flounder. There will be... a handful of movies that make good use of it. The Hobbit is coming out this year, and I'm really excited, and I'm hoping that 3D doesn't suck.
Don't think that 3D is going to jumpstart TV sales.
Oh, however, it's certainly not going to jumpstart. I'm talking movie theater. Like, I think right. They've got an even harder road at home.
And I don't think it's going to. The impact, the positive impact of additional sales on movies. 3D versus like the other ones is already like, it's not as significant as it was.
On the other hand, in 2012, Smell-O-Vision is going to rock.
All right. You go.
That is not a real prediction.
Nah.
Not a real prediction. For the record.
Okay. So let's see. So what else? What else we got?
How's Android going to do?
Well, I think it's just going to keep doing as it's been doing this year, I think. I mean, I don't see any major breakthrough with Android. I just see it continuing to push out dumb phones and other stuff and whatever where, this share of dumb phones on a global basis continues to be going down, and it's being replaced by Android, and simply because, let's face it, I mean, it's fucking free, for God's sakes.
I think Android will continue to dominate in the market of, A, people who, for some sort of philosophical reason, don't want to have Apple products, and B, the people who are competing only on price.
Yeah. So, I mean, yes,
or who are
it,
looking
I mean,
only on price, I should say.
Right. No.
Give me a cheap smartphone that's decent. Android wins.
Exactly. Yep. pretty much. That's what I see. And it'll continue to be successful that way. And it'll continue not to generate much revenue for Google, unfortunately, because that's the way that they did this. They did really, I think that that's one thing where they completely dropped the ball on that. So.
Yeah. Desktops, laptops, anything exciting there, or do they just continue to be blah?
Nah, I think they continue to be blah. I mean, I've seen a whole bunch of stuff like right now where they're talking about, you know, trying to fuse the tablet with the laptop and with the whatever. With
I think that's stupid. And I think both Apple and Windows have been doing it. I think Lion was trying to move in that direction. Windows is clearly trying to do it with Windows 8 or whatever. I think that's... It's not a good direction. These are different kinds of devices, and the operating system should be different.
Yeah, no, I agree. I do think that it's... I think that it's okay to add, like, certain touch features to, like, you know, if there's no additional cost. I mean, what's the point? But if I could add touch to a laptop screen, it's okay. Yeah. But I don't think that modifying the OS, like, in a way that... I mean, there are certain tasks that I want to be doing with a fucking keyboard and mouse, okay? All right? Not touch, okay? For example, filling out a spreadsheet, okay? All right? And working some numbers. Mm-hmm. That is just not a task that is easily done on a fucking tablet.
Okay? You'll just have Siri do it for you.
You want me to get into a fucking another fucking argument with Siri? I gotta admit that I have not been using it very much.
Yeah, I've heard a few people saying that, despite the reports of like data usage like doubling on iPhone 4S users because of Siri. You know, it still seems to me like there are a handful of scenarios where it is unquestionably useful, but for the most part, it still remains the kind of feature you use a few times to say, "Oh, look how cool this is." And then you forget about
it. Well, okay, let me try something. I just got a text message, right? And I want to try to reply to it using Siri. All right? Let's see how that goes.
Okay.
Please remember the conference at 9 a.m. Monday. All right? Let's see. Okay, it's thinking. Fuck, I could have typed it in already!
Not if you were driving.
Didn't put in anything.
So, successful test.
Fuck me. What the fuck did it do?
Yeah.
And they
did slap the beta tag on it. Maybe Siri itself was one of these things where like they just wanted to get it out before Jobs died.
Well, in the because
it doesn't seem 100%. Yeah, I know. But it just seems like it's one of those. That's why I said before he died. It just seems like one of those things that isn't quite baked yet. However, I have seen the argument that one of the things that a service like Siri needs in order to get better is lots and lots and lots of data. And the only way to really get that is to get lots of people using it.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll see big improvements in this technology this year. I'm not ready to make that prediction, but mayhaps.
Yeah. Okay, so we're being really gun-shy on predictions right now.
Well, we were fairly clear at the beginning. You predicted some fairly significant Apple things.
Well, that's true.
Any technology outside of Apple, Android, handsets, blah, 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 you want to predict
bulldozer
technology or something?
Well, basically, one thing I will predict, that Research in Motion is basically, by the end of this, going to become fucking irrelevant. I mean, it's...
Aren't they already irrelevant? Isn't that a pretty easy prediction?
No, they're still... You know, the corporations still use it a lot, but I think that by the end of this year, even like corporations will have completely finished dumping it for the most part.
Okay.
That's what I think.
Anything outside of the mobile or computer space?
Wait. No, but I'll be more bold. I think somebody's going to buy out Research in Motion before the end of the year.
Okay.
All right, I'll go with that.
Okay, any predictions outside of the mobile and or computing space? Anything in cars, anything in planes, anything in bulldozers? Though, of course, those are all transportation. Construction, I don't know. You know, those areas of technology are under thought about. Energy? In energy, any like breakthrough new battery technology or something? I don't know.
Okay, that's a good point. But I haven't seen. Here's the thing: I have not seen enough progress on battery technology. I mean, let's face it. I mean, there just hasn't been. I don't see anything that really.
I've seen a lot
of evolutionary stuff.
I've seen a few reports of like theoretical research that may result in really good things, but like products based on that theoretical research are, according to the estimates I've seen, at least a decade out.
Yeah, I just don't see it. I will tell you this. Let me actually, on technology on the front, this started happening this year, and I think it'll be completed by this year. The fact that that this year is going to be a massive breakthrough year in terms of four-cylinder cars with turbos, basically taken over as the primary engines driving a lot of cars in the U.S. instead of six cylinders, and driving average fuel economy significantly higher in the U.S. You know, years ago, everybody was saying that this is going to be impossible. There's no way to make a freaking sedan that can average 30 miles per gallon that's a large sedan. Blah, blah, blah. It's all bullshit. It could be done. It's just nobody wanted to put through the effort. Finally, under pressure, everybody finally started. Even large German companies and American have started actually replacing all these gas-guzzling V6s, which smaller and far more efficient and powerful, but yet powerful, small four-cylinder engines. And fuel economy across the board has been shooting up through the roof. So I think that this year you're going to see a breakthrough where the V6 engine is no longer the dominant engine that we've had in the U.S. We got but more the four-cylinder turbo.
Okay, I'll do a technology prediction in a completely different area, which is you will see the continued growth of automated warfare, of unmanned drone-type warfare. Obama's obviously really liked this, and the technology has been improving dramatically over the last few years. I think you're going to see it continue to accelerate. It's hard to measure necessarily because some of the stuff is secret, but it's clear that 2011, a lot more people were killed this way than in 2010, and I think that trend is going to continue to increase in terms of the number of attacks that are based on this kind of automated technology, where the pilot or operator or whatever is in some safe place in the Midwest United States or the Southwest or somewhere, flying a drone or other automated vehicle over some more dangerous part of the world, killing people. I think that's going to happen more often. And I will add, I think that part of the prediction is really easy. I'll go out a limb and say you will see this implemented by somebody other than the U.S. This year as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that sounds like a.
And by the way, I'm not ready for it this year, but I mean, it's clear the people at the Pentagon were really excited by watching the Star Wars movies, and I am of no doubt whatsoever that within our lifetimes, there'll be like robotic ground troops as well, not just the aerial drones.
Interesting. Okay. By the way, talking about robots, okay. I believe you had a Roomba, right?
I had a Roomba a long time ago. It didn't survive one of our moves. But
what happened?
I think. I don't actually remember. It may actually still be in the garage somewhere, but I think it stopped working. Like the battery like eventually died or something. It did have a penchant, despite the safeties built into it, for deciding to take a tumble down the stairs. Which can't have been great for it. This was many years ago, so I'm sure the technology has improved quite a bit.
Did you get
a Roomba for Christmas?
No. I've had a Roomba for years, but the one thing is that a couple of years ago, the battery died.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that may have been what happened to ours too.
The batteries were pretty expensive. Yeah. And I've gone through a couple of batteries, but I will give you anybody a hot tip on Amazon.com. There is a merchant that sells I mean, it's not Amazon Direct Fulfillment, but it's a third-party merchant on Amazon that sells replacement Roomba batteries for half the price, $35.
There you go.
And I replaced my battery with that, and
it's good to go.
My Roomba, oh yeah, it's running like a charm.
You know, one of the things, and we've occasionally entertained the thought of getting a Roomba again. There's some obstacles, practicality in terms of, you know, but the main thing that I've always said though is they have increased in sophistication so that now, you know, you can set them up at a timer. They'll go back to their base to recharge.
But mine does that.
No, I'm saying they now can go back to their base to recharge. They can go on a timed schedule. They've had this for a number of years now. It's gotten better and better.
But I'm saying that those two things mine does.
Well, good. The one thing that is still missing, they need to empty themselves.
I would agree. There's got to be some kind of a docking station where it just goes in.
A Roomba bathroom.
It cleans the wheels and it just cleanses itself and then it's just ready to go back out. I agree. I'm totally with you on that one.
That's the killer thing for one of these to be truly effective. It needs to be something, you know, ideally it would do all that and dump it in your existing trash can. So you just take out the trash normally.
Or it's just a separate garbage can that you use garbage goes in for the Roomba and you can use it as a garbage can too.
Yeah, that would be fine too. But yeah, it has to do that because like the biggest pain in the ass
is having to clean it and dump it. Yeah, because even if you set it on the schedule, if it's on the schedule but the fucking thing is full, then what's the point? Right.
There, yeah. Okay. Let's see.
All right. I think we killed one.
I do want to get to any other news predictions that aren't presidential election, because we didn't really cover that. Like, anything else going on? We've got...
Jack shit's going to happen with Iran. Jack, I don't know, North Korea. I think that this bozo will, you know, just like Raul Castro, like, took over for Fidel, the same bullshit. Nothing's going to change.
He's young enough too that I suspect he's a figurehead.
Yeah. Let's see who else. Oh, okay. We have Olympics coming up, don't we? I'll throw one in.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll be bold. I'll take a risk. Putin's not going to win the election.
Ooh.
Okay. Or if he does, it's going to be a massive clusterfuck. I mean, he's not going to be able to hold on to power. Okay.
So that's a different prediction because my next follow up for he's not going to win the election was would he go gracefully or would he try to keep power by force?
I think that he would try to. So it's going to be if he's not going to win the election, and even if he does or doesn't, either way, it's going to be a massive clusterfuck. That's my prediction.
Your prediction is chaos in Russia.
Yes, absolutely. My prediction is chaos in Russia. Yes.
Okay. I like that prediction. I think he will probably engineer a win. I don't know if it'll be a real win.
If he engineers a win, it's going to be chaos.
Because you're going to have people protesting and stuff like
that. Oh, yeah.
Because you've already seen that.
Right. It's going to be far worse than the protests that we got right now. That's my point.
Okay, look, you know, I think I'll agree with you on chaos in Russia. I think that's a good one. On Iran, I think there will be continued...
we're just going to get the same shit over and over. There was a cartoon in The Economist this week that described it as the Iran perpetual motion machine. Okay, all right? Because it's like every time... It went through this whole sequence of it. Persian perpetual motion machine. Here we go. Cross Iran. Pissed off Iran. Secretly builds nuclear weapon. Iran gets steamed. Envelope is pushed. Sabers are rattled. Critics turn up the heat. Muscles are flexed. Hopes of a diplomatic solution drop. Rounds of accusation. Oil prices rise. Opinion is swayed. Scorn is poured. Recovery wobbles. And then we start all over again. Okay? It's the same shit all the time. I mean, I don't know. How long have we been going on this crap?
79?
I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, whatever.
So I'll go out on a limb on one. Assad in Syria will fall.
Well, that's not going out so much of a limb. I mean, I think.
Oh, he's holding on right now. But okay, fine. It's not that much of a limb.
It's a call. It's a call.
And let's see. I mentioned the Olympics before. The Olympics will happen. No one will care. Or, I shouldn't say no one will care. People will care, but it seemed to me, and correct me if my impression is wrong, but the trend has been over the last few decades that each subsequent Olympics is a little bit less of a splash than the one before.
I will agree. That's what it seemed like in the last 20 years, yes.
And so I think that trend will continue. There'll be an Olympics in London. The people who really care about those things will pay attention.
And it'll be less popular than the last one, and it will continue that trend. Yep. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of something else off the wall and in a completely different area, but I'm failing.
Comets? Meteors hitting anything?
Yeah, I will predict that the Earth will not be destroyed by a celestial body in 2012.
Okay, there you go.
Which, by the way, is contrary to all these people going on about the whole Mayan thing.
Okay, I agree, and I agree with Sam on that. I will.
We're boosting our predictive numbers now.
Yeah.
I predict that the world will still exist. Yes.
I predict that America will not have a civil war in 2012.
Well, I don't know. If Santorum doesn't win the nomination, he might, you know.
I don't think a whole bunch of angry Western Pennsylvanians is going to start a fucking war. And invade, like, what, Ohio? No, I don't think it's going to happen.
Okay. I think on that note, we should wrap it up.
Yes, we should. Okay, yes, we should.
Before we get any crazier.
Right.
So.
And I don't know. Wait. I have my dad gave me this thing from Neiman Marcus, like, Jesus Christ, it's been like 20 years, which is a predictive wheel, which I spin right now. It tells you to do something like different like transactions with your stocks, and so according to my wheel, it says change brokers. So in 2012, you should change who manages your investments.
Okay, advice there. From Yvonne's wheel.
All right, and on that note,
we're out. Thanks, everybody, for listening to yet another Curmudgeon's Corner. Tell your friends, tweet about us, post us on Facebook, you know, all that fun stuff. In the meantime, email me at ablesme@ablesme.com. That's ABULSME. If you have any questions, comments, or thoughts, we like to interact with our listeners. So please jump in. Join the conversation, as they say. In the meantime, have a good week, and we'll talk to you on next week's show. See you then. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.